Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
John Clayton, of course, does sports talk in Seattle, covers the NFL. John, how are you? Thanks for taking the time.
Good, really appreciate it. How are you?
Doing really well, John. I want to start with locally there with you in Seattle. Russell Wilson, I never bought the whole offseason that they were actually going to trade him. Did they ever seriously consider trading Russell Wilson?
No, they never did. There was never any consideration for that because, again, the reason being is that this is a team that's won 9, 10, 11, and last year 12 games. And so what was going to happen is that if you trade him with a $39 million cap hit, you know, they have to go into a 2 to 3 year rebuilding process. Since 2013, there's been 13 teams that had 20% of the cap or more. And so because of that, what happens is that you know, you don't make the playoffs. And this team is aspiring to go to the Super Bowl, which is what Russell Wilson wants. And so even though he was, you know, causing some problems, he wasn't going to ever be traded. John Snyder is one that's going to listen. He'll, you know, listen to any conversation, but he was never going to trade him. And of course, his agent, who's a baseball agent, has no idea anything about the NFL because that's his only client, Russell Wilson, kept on promoting the ideas like, well, if he didn't want to be traded, he wanted to go to New Orleans. No cap room and no draft choices. The Raiders, who traded away three starting offensive linemen, that would have been up. And then Dallas, who had backpack, and Chicago, who couldn't come. There was no way they're going to come to a deal. So it was just an overblown story that was never going to materialize.
What is the relationship right now between Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll?
I think it's better. One of the things that, you know, he wants to win. Pete Carroll wants to win. And, you know, they've had him involved really in just about every offensive decision because what Russell wants is the most talent around him. Now, again, I know that they didn't get him Antonio Brown, so they didn't do it. But, you know, they got him Gabe Jackson on the offensive line. They got him Gerald Everett, tight end. They got him Chris Carson back in the backfield. And, you know, they're now adding depth on the offensive line. So they've come to, and they got him an offensive coordinator that he likes. So I think the relationship's fine. The only problem is, you know, the Seahawks were the second team in football to announce that they're going to be boycotting the OTAs. Denver was first, Seattle was second.
That's interesting. Can you explain the appreciation with Seattle? I'm not as in depth on it as you are, obviously. But like just from outside looking in, it just seems like this type of scenario where as long as Pete Carroll wins 9 or 10 games a year, no one's really going to cause any problems. Do I see it right or no?
Well, right now I think there's the frustration of losing the playoff game to the Rams because what happened was that the Rams went cover two. And there was no answers to try to get guys open to beat it. And so that was a frustration. But, of course, it has now been since 2014, they've not been back to the Super Bowl, and that's where they want to go. But it's been a good off season. They're a better team now than they were at the end of last year. And you know that the NFC is going through such turmoil right now with the quarterback changes, the cap issues, and all that stuff. So the only difficulty Seattle has is that they're in the toughest division in football because Arizona's better. San Francisco should bounce back. The Rams have won the division title 2 out of 3 years. So it's going to be a battle.
We're talking with John Clayton. John, Jadeveon Clowney's coming to Cleveland tonight. The Browns have been flirting with Clowney for a couple of years here. Obviously, he had been in Seattle previously before going to Tennessee last year. Does this finally get done? Do the Browns and Clowney come together, you think?
You would think so, because the fact that he's making a move this early, because if you notice the last two off seasons, or he's carried everything to the start at the end of training camp. You know, like, for example, not signing the franchise tag, holding out, then he gets the trade to Seattle, and he played really well. The big thing with him is that he's a pressure guy. He's not a sack guy, but he can put a lot of pressure on, and he's a really good player. Injuries have to be a concern. He started his career with a microfracture, and the knee was a little bit bad last year, but, you know, he overestimated what he could get last year. Like, for example, I think the Browns offered about $17 million, which was the highest offer, and he didn't take it. Then, you know, Seattle started at 13, got it up to 16, and then he wouldn't return their phone calls. And so then next thing you know, he signs with Tennessee, goes there with Vic Beasley. That's $22.5 million on two defensive ends and no sacks. And he couldn't finish the season. Beasley gets cut, and Clowney ends up, you know, going on injured reserve.
Do you feel like Clowney still has that passion and that fire to play? Like, you've been around him, you spent time around him. Like, does it feel like he still has a love for football?
I think he does. I mean, there's still a little bit of a question about that. I mean, he loves to play. There's no doubt about that. And he's really talented in being able to play. But the problem is that you know, sometimes the money kind of distorts things for him, because, again, he wants to be $22 million, not 13, not 17. And I don't know what he's going to be able to get this time, but I can't imagine he's going to get more than 10, because, again, that's not the market right now, because the market's so far down. But I mean, I know that, you know, being at every game, when he was here, he was always one of my go-to guys, because he loves talking football. He's really, you know, really smart as far as that goes. He's a great teammate, and he'd be a perfect guy on the other side of Myles Garrett.
We're talking with John Clayton, 710 ESPN Seattle. The podcast is Schooled with the Professor. You just mentioned Myles Garrett, right? You know, he had his best seasons, at least statistically, playing with a, you know, a younger J.J. Watt. Would you expect... You know, I know there's more to being a defensive lineman than just the sacks, but would you, you know, assuming he stays healthy, and that's a big if, but playing with Myles Garrett, would you think the sack totals will come up?
Yeah, you would think so, yeah. Although the one thing is that, you know, particularly it's tougher for defensive ends in this current regime to be able to get sacks. I think there was only like about, a dozen guys with double-digit sacks. And one of the problems is you have these running quarterbacks that, you know, you have to chase down if you're going to be a defensive end to get a sack, and they were able to escape. And there's more guys that are able to escape. And then the other thing with the rules about holding, where they're almost allowing more holding than ever, it's harder for a defensive end to be able to do it. But still, if you're a good edge rusher, you still should be able to get the double digits. And, of course, what's going to make it great for Miles is that when Clowney was playing, you know, he was one of the most double-team defensive ends in football. And so it would double team too, as far as being a 3-4 edge rusher. But he's better in a 4-3, I think, than a 3-4. Because, I mean, in many ways, that's what he was in college, a 4-3 defensive end. He's got that long, angular body that works so well. And so just to play 3-4 linebacker, I mean, he was kind of playing out of position. But he still made three Pro Bowls.
And he's entering his age 28 season. Do you feel like he's already hit his peak, or is there still more that he can go towards?
I worry about the knees. In the injuries. I mean, we watched it with Todd Gurley. I mean, Todd Gurley had the arthritic knee. And so with the knee like his and knees like his, I mean, he's probably a 28-year-old guy with 32-year-old knees. And so you worry about that. So, you know, I don't know how far into his 30s he's going to be able to play. And also money's going to be a big part of that, because if money starts going down, he'll start going and doing something else. So, but no, I think that, you know, he's right at that stage where he can get to his peak, but I think it's going to start to decline in a little time.
We're talking with the Professor John Clayton, talking football here. John, you referenced the fact that the teams are starting to boycott. I just don't personally see the point of having OTAs in person with, you know, still a lot to deal with in terms of COVID and vaccinations. And they went, you know, virtual last year, and the play was fine. Why not just keep it virtual until training camp?
Yeah, you know, I mean, certainly it's a little tougher this year, but, you know, I mean, it looks like I would have to think the NFL is going to back down and keep it virtual. Maybe we'll see if there's going to be a mini camp or not. They might be able to negotiate that. But see, here's where the problem is, and you can see it in the first round of the draft. I mean, you know, you've got five quarterbacks that could go in the top 10. You know, they're not going to be able to be on the field until training camp if that happens. And then also, you know, what you didn't have last year was the opt-outs as far as the rookies. Like, for example, three of the top four offensive linemen opted out. I mean, there's going to be six in the top 15 that opted out. They've not played since 2019. And then for the rookies, they don't even know what to do to get in shape because, again, they're not being trained or not being conditioned right. And we've seen it with some guys coming back from some major injuries. You know, they may not have gotten the right treatment because, again, they're away from everybody else. And so there's going to be problems there. Certainly some of the guys are going to lose some workout bonuses, but what are you talking about, $25,000, $50,000? That's not a killer. But in the end, I think until the vaccination starts going for everybody, that there's a likelihood there's not going to be any OTAs.
That's interesting. You know, John, I was tuning in last week. I heard you on our sister station, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, and we've been trying to cap out the AFC North. I think the Browns are ahead of the Ravens, but I always have a hard time with Pittsburgh because I don't know what to think of with Big Ben. I know I like Mike Tomlin as a coach a lot, but I don't know about Big Ben. But I heard you say you think maybe two more years. Is that right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, this year, maybe next year. I mean, it's going to be year to year, but I still think he has 2 years left in him because, and we'll see. I mean, I just wonder how much of the problem with the short passes and getting rid of the ball quick was more on the former offensive coordinator than it was with the with Ben. Because you notice, like in the Indy game with the comeback, he was zipping the ball. At the end of the last game that he played, he was zipping the ball. And so I just kind of wonder, you know, where it is. But again, until they get him back on the field, nobody knows for sure. I know that I was at the game because I do the opposing team sidelines. So I was on the Pittsburgh sidelines in week two of 2019 when the elbow finally, the arm just kind of went dead, and then he had the surgery, and then you wondered how he was coming back. But he fought back, and he was throwing the ball pretty well in training camp. So we'll see where he is right now. But I don't know if you heard what I said, which, of course, is so strange. But it's like, you know, when asked, which didn't go over real well, it's like, who do you think right now is the favorite in the AFC North? And this is on paper. And again, the key is on paper. I think right now it would be Cleveland.
Yeah, we're talking with John Clayton. John,
well, we like that, John.
Yeah, certainly. It didn't go over well in Pittsburgh, but yeah, we think it should be too. But getting back to Benny there over in Pittsburgh, their offense was not very. As far as I can tell, they haven't upgraded either of those areas. They've lost guys off their offensive line. They've lost James Conner. Not that he was great last year. You know, they have good receivers, but they really have to rebuild that offense, and that's hard to do just through a draft. How concerned would you be about that?
Very concerned because, I mean, Marquise Pouncey, their center, he retired. Yeah. Matt Feeler, who, you know, technically was the second best offensive guard in unrestricted free agency, he went to the Chargers for $7 million a year. And then they haven't re-signed Alejandro Villanueva, their left tackle, who's right. 32 years old. And so, you know, they're taking young guys and putting them out there. They brought B.J. Finney back after he was a failure in Seattle to maybe compete for the center spot. But, you know, they're in a tough spot, particularly in this draft. Now, because you figure that, as they have historically, they'll probably want to take an edge rusher with the Bud Dupree going to Tennessee, but they probably need to take an offensive lineman. You know, At one point I had him taking Najee Harris, but I actually have him going to Miami right now in the mock draft I'm putting out for the Washington Post tomorrow. But in the end, I think that, they've got to be worried about the offensive line because there's very little left.
I gotta make the professor show his work now because you said that you have the Browns as the favorite in the AFC North. I agree with you. I think they're better than the Ravens.
On paper.
So, like, what is it that tilts the Browns in favor over Baltimore at this current point?
Well, because Kevin Stefanski came in there with the two backs and did such a great job. The offensive line, I think, is solid. I mean, certainly they're good at the receiver position, particularly when Beckham comes back. They're good there. They're talented, and I think they're going to be a pretty good defense. And if they can add Clowney, it's even going to be that much better. So, they still have to make sure that they're okay in the secondary because that was a big issue last year. But I think on paper, because, think about what we talked about with Pittsburgh. Well, what do we talk about with Baltimore? And that's why the paper part of it is there because, they lose two pass rushers, Unique and Dockway and Matthew Judon. And so, are they going to be able to replace those guys? I mean, they're certainly big on defense. They're good in the secondary, but are they going to be able to get the pass rush? Now, I know that Unique and only was able to combine for a total of 9 sacks with Judon, but it's like, again, that's part of the problem with the way it is right now with the holding and everything else. But I think right now, until we see how it comes out of the draft and what happens after that, there's an edge right now with the Browns.
John, last thing, Baker Mayfield has 1 year left and then obviously the fifth year option. So they have 2 years of team control. Do you expect the Browns to try to lock Baker up this offseason, or is it more likely to happen next offseason?
Probably happen next offseason because, again, yeah. one of the problems is with $182.5 million cap, it's hard to do many deals and do many big deals. And so nobody knows what the cap's going to be next year because I know that Morris Smith of the union came back and said if the cap didn't have a floor this year, it was going to be $166 million with the revenue. Now, are they going to have full stadiums? We don't know that for sure. And the TV money doesn't kick into 2023. So when you throw all that together, I mean, is the cap even going to get to the 198.2 that it was in 2020? So it's like, or 2019. So it's like, or 2020. So it's like, yeah. that's still going to be a big issue. But I think, you know, it's probably going to be more next year than this year. But the one thing I know with Stefanski's running game and what was going on with taking some things away from him and taking the pressure off on the offense, Baker Mayfield really played well toward the end of the season. I mean, he started to play like a Pro Bowl type of quarterback. And if he can continue to improve on that, then it's going to be, you know, lights out for right now the Browns.
No doubt. John, we appreciate the time. Thank you for taking it for us. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.